warrior who protects his people from monstrous giants. He was the idol of Vikings and barbarians in the darkest age ever known to man. But few know the reality behind his myth. He battled the ancient world's most colossal sea monster. And he was the last hope for Europe's pagans as they defied the armies of Christendom. Fact and fiction collide in the myth of the mighty Thor. Two arch enemies battle to the death. Thor, the thunder god, against a staggering beast. A giant snake who strikes with lethal force. It is man versus monster. Thor unleashes his deadliest weapon, lightning from his magic hammer, as thunder rocks heaven and earth. The myth of Thor is filled with these epic showdowns, heroic battles against creatures who threaten mankind.
Thor is the champion of the gods. He's the great fighter who can be brought out when something is really bad. You don't go to Thor for wisdom. Go to Thor because he's going to protect you against the evil monsters.
Tales of Thor's adventures provided escape from one of the bleakest periods in human history, the Dark Ages of the first millennium AD. It was a time when the Norse world, stretching from the British Isles to the Baltic Sea, was in turmoil.
It's an agricultural society where people were farming and surviving kind of at the very edge of how it was possible to survive because it was cold. It was the northern part of Europe. It wasn't around the Mediterranean where it was much easier to grow things. And it tended to be, from everything we can tell, quite violent.
War, famine, and death were daily facts of life on the desolate northern fringes of Europe. But the myth of Thor brought a sense of order to the chaos.
It was a religion of the countryside. Paganism actually is a Latin word that describes that, what the country people believe in. And paganism is not really well organized either. It's not like the Greek pantheon in the sense that it's very well organized and everybody knows whose responsibilities and who's more important than whom. It's very different.
The view of human life in that mythology was a fairly dark, a fairly stern one. Human beings didn't look forward to the kind of salvation in heaven at the end of time that's promised in the Christian stories. They had a kind of a darker, a more sorrowful view of life. People have to show great courage and hardiness in the face of enormous obstacles.
For inspiration, the people looked to Thor.
Thank you. yeah, baby, I'll be the tax man. So get that money in here to La Cesspool Grande in Washingtonian, because the head nigger needs your money. And his white honky slaves that work for him, they need your money. Yeah, get it in there, man. Hey, Terrible Tommy here, North Central Indiana, on a cool day. We're headed towards more cold weather, it looks like. Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. And it is October the 27th, 2016. And, well, we got some things to say. We got some things to talk about. Yeah, I see the bitch is turning the last curve on the raceway, getting ready to go down the home stretch, baby. She's all set to be the new lady dictator. How about that? Media is going to try to make it look like it's maybe a little closer horse race than it is. But I'll guarantee you, no matter what he does, you're not going to get by the Electoral College. Because that's where the big shots really tromp on you if they don't want you. It's happened many times down through history. People have won the popular vote and get tossed out with the Electoral College. Strange. People never rose up physically against that and tossed out those sons of bitches in the Electoral, so-called Electoral College. How come they've never rose up and told them to go to hell? Because they're chicken shit. You know, most people are that way. Just like the white race. And they're suffering from chicken shititis. And all those stickers and things we used to put out, wake up white man and woman, forget it. It's over. They ain't going to wake up. There's only a small percentage of the white race that are woken up. And I recommend those people keep your powder dry for the coming events. Pleading with these white assholes to do the right thing is a waste of time. The most they could do is get behind this Donald Trump. And that was a failure from the beginning. Yeah. So don't waste your copying money putting out paperwork and like the Klan going through the neighborhoods. Wake up, white man. Wake up, white man. Well, those sons of bitches ain't going to wake up until they get a tubivore stuck up the rear end. Even then, they're probably too stupid to do anything. Just regret all the good men we've lost that thought that they could try to turn it around, that the white people would wake up and do something or get up and at it. They never did, so we've lost a lot of good men, a lot of good men rotting in prison because of it. Don't do it anymore. Don't fight for those bastards. Fight for yourself and your few friends that you have that you can depend on. The lone wolf clique. That's what I say. That's why I love the Chaos Factor. Climb the ladder, baby. Yeah, any other thing and you're down in the pits. The Chaos Factor. When you talk like that, they know they're not bullshitting you. They're not conning you, because you know the story. Now, Hillary wants to send more and more troops over into the Far East. She's going to want a confrontation, the Chinese. That'll be a suicide thing, because they've got the power, they've got the money. And anything like that would end up in a nuclear war. So, bitch, you get in there, you better not tinker around with China, because China, Russia, Iran, they're all together. You better just come on home. Bring those boys home. I hear Trump and the Republicans going on and on and on about these trade deals that are so bad, and selling out, shipping all those jobs to China. Well, I've told you many times, go back there to Life magazine back in the 70s and see the full spread of Richard Nixon Well, before him, Kissinger went over there, and then Nixon with his wife, and they were wined and dined by the Chinese, the inscrutable Chinese, and that's when they started shipping these jobs and manufacturing to China not long after. One good thing, Willie's Jeep lost their ass over there. They tried to compete with the Chinese manufacturing and lost their ass and had to come back to the United States. That was good. That should happen to every corporation that plays around in China. Did you hear the story about Bubba? Yeah, well, his daddy saw Bubba out there at the outhouse. He said, what are you doing out there? He had his fishing pole out there, and he had a line and a hook down in the hole in the outhouse. He said, well, I'm trying to fish out my jacket, Daddy. I dropped it in the bottom of the privy. He said, so he reels it up, and he's got it in his hand, and the pop says, are you going to wear that jacket? Well, hell no, I ain't going to wear that jacket, but I want that biscuit that's in the pocket. Ha! Now, here's a funny one, boys and girls. Racist Anonymous, helping to make people aware of their biases. Sunnyvale, California. Yeah, that's where it's happening. Quote, I'm Morgan, and I'm a racist, unquote. Quote, I'm Bonnie, and I'm a racist. Quote, I'm Daryl, and I'm a racist. Something that is usually unspeakable in a conversation starter at a meeting of Racist Anonymous. The participants in the multiracial group try to become more aware of their biases. Quote, that means if an Arabic person gets on a plane and I automatically think terrorist, one member gave us an example. Their goal is to abolish racism from their communities by first eliminating it from themselves. Quote, oftentimes we don't even realize we're being racist, unquote, said Pastor Ron Buford, who started the weekly meetings last November at his congregational Sunnyvale, California church, and obviously he's a Negro. He began holding the sessions after watching town after town getting eaten up by hate and violence, so often born out of prejudice. Well, most of that violence seems to be coming from the black community, so I guess they're real racist, and I believe they are. And the movement is growing. In less than a year, more than 50 churches in 22 different states have started Racist Anonymous meetings using the Buford's model. You still going to support the churches? I've warned you about that. Mind control centers, that's all they are. Black Lives Matter has made a wonderful impact on so many ways. But this is a different approach, Buford said. His program is focusing on the individual instead of talking about other people's racism and say, it's me. He said, the revelations come in the smallest instances. Quote, there are a number of black people, and some of them have these weird names, unquote, said Bonnie. And somehow I just can't remember those weird names, and I feel very bad about it, unquote. Quote, you may want to use unique or different because I don't think the mother would like you to say, quote, your child has a weird name. Where'd you get Chinookwa from? Responded Josie to laughs. Morgan has been a participant since the beginning. Quote, I hadn't considered myself a racist coming here, he said. Once we got into these discussions, it started me thinking. Maybe there's a little bit of racism in everybody. And that I was one of them. The reality is that the white experience in America, the black and brown experience in America, are so radically different that there's no way that the person who is white could even understand what's happening to a black person, a negra. Except it's starting to happen. So I think people are coming to a place of discovery, unquote, Buford said, the black preacher. In a nation searching for answers, it is a small step, but it is a step in the right direction. Well, how about that? He's got the answer. The whole ball of wax, as Ben used to say. No, now and then I agree with a Jew. Yeah, I do. One Jew I agreed with on one subject was Ben Hecht up in Hollywood back in the 50s, I think. He said, I think that every politician in the country should be hung on the guts of every preacher. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I'll tell you why. Assume he meant rabbis, too. Quote, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, unquote. Those words are recorded in several scriptures from the Bible and serve as an analogy from Jesus. The wealth and power do not grant an individual access to the kingdom of heaven. Well, nothing does, you dumbass. Instead, it's a humility in keeping those less fortunate, among other things, that might allow someone to ascend after death. You're going to ascend, all right into the dirt. Unfortunately, these leaders of popular churches seem to have not received the memo through their God's word, have amassed insane amounts of wealth. Will that help them get into heaven? I don't think so. Just a minute, I gotta find the rest of this article. Well, the first one on the list is Charles E. Blake, pastor. Yeah. Pastor Blake. And Pastor Charles Blake is a black man. No, he's sort of a brown man. No, he's maybe a mulatto man. With the help of 25,000 weekly members, and probably a good share of them are white, Charles E. Blake has cashed in a salary of $900,000 per year. What does he do with all that money? Like most Californians, he relaxes in a 10,000-square-foot mansion in Beverly Hills. Why, God really takes care of these preachers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then there's Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's kid. Remember when Billy Graham, he's got a 10-foot chain-link electrified fence and guard dogs around his house. Boy, he really trusts the Lord. These are the guys that have the ears of your presidente and your congressmen and your senators as they screw you to the wall. Franklin Graham has a $1.2 million in his pocket. Son of Pastor Billy Graham, William Franklin Graham III, is the president of Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Samaritan's Purse. Naturally, people weren't pleased to find out Graham was collecting $1.2 million per year. Well, how about Bill Moyers, the extreme leftist, beginning his career on PBS as a host numerous television programs, and he also came out attacking Tom Metzger when he's being sued in Oregon. He works very closely with Morris Dees when he can. Moyers was eventually appointed associate director of the Peace Corps and was the 13th White House press secretary. Moyers also made $20 million from public broadcasting alone. But he continues to keep his official income and net worth secret because it's a hell of a lot more. What do these fucking guys do with all that money? Because they're not giving it away. Like the Clintons got, what, $350 million in their foundation? And all they're doing is robbing people, like in Haiti, robbing them blind, and got into a deal down there to rob them of the gold that's in Haiti. I would think that the Haitians need a little gold. Reverend Richard Rossi, one of the most charismatic Christian leaders. Richard Rossi's net worth has not officially been revealed, but it's been estimated around $1 million. That's a year. Rossi and his wife Sherry created the Eternal Grace, which offered ministry services to actors and artists. Well, they could sure use it. Rossi was often referred to as a pastor to the stars before hitting an all-time low. In 1994, his wife Sherry was found in a coma on the side of the road, and Rossi was convicted of second-degree assault. Despite his controversy, Rossi has a talk show called Richard Rossi Lives and a Bank Full of Money. God helps these people out. He really takes care of them. You gotta hand it to him. God's a big money man. Here's another one. Creflo Dollar. You might have heard of him because he was buying all kinds of jet planes not too long ago. Supposedly got $27 million and he is black. He's brown. No, he's mulatto. Beginning his ministry in a school cafeteria with 8 members in 1986, Creflo Dollar has since grown his fellowship to 30,000 stupid idiots. Gaining much of his fame from his non-denominational ministry, Dollar's World Changers Church International just opened its second location in the Bronx. You know, they keep fleecing these blacks in the black community. Nobody fleeces them like the Christians. New York, that's in New York, of course, with countless speaking engagements and a best-selling book. Dollar definitely enjoys his $27 million in earnings and all his jet planes flying around. Paul Kane, $1 million a year. Back in the 40s, Paul Kane was one of the youngest ministers of the Voice of Healing Revival. He revived all kinds of dead people. After being accused of homosexuality and the public intoxication numerous times, it wasn't until 2005 that Kane admitted in an online letter of confession of his struggles. How many more preachers? What, 50%? 25%? Are mixed up in all kinds of shit like this. Here's one of my favorites of all time, Jimmy Swaggart. $1.5 million a year, and I know it's more than that. I remember when he got caught in a motel with the prostitute out in Needles, California. I was living in California. After being ordained in the 1950s, Jimmy Swaggart became a popular pastor, beginning with his radio network reaching large audience. Although Swaggart was a well-known pastor, his public image declined with his confirmation of the sex and prostitution scandals in a "I have sinned" speech. Will you forgive me? Oh, hell yes, we sheep will forgive you. Somehow Swaggart regained his followers and high earnings, eventually making over $1.5 million a year. Remember that old asshole Jimmy Clary that infiltrated the Klan, and he infiltrated me for a while until I dumped his ass. He'd been a professional wrestler, and he joined the Klan, then he joined me for a while. I kicked him out, and then he went the religion way. He finally figured out how to make the money. He started out as a used car salesman. Yeah, Johnny Clary joined up with Jimmy Swaggart's kid, and he was on television quite a bit over the last few years. I used to watch it for amusement. But poor old that Johnny Lee Clary, he got to operating down in Australia, going around all the back country churches where he could pick up some more dummies for money. He also is responsible for a gal he got hooked up with in a church down there in Oklahoma, and he did bad to her, and she committed suicide, so he's got that on his rolls. And he made a business out of going all around the country talking about me and the Klan and all that kind of stuff. But he's gone now. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought him to his throne, and he is dead. He needed him up there. I used to call Johnny Lee Clary Boss Hogg. Remember that from the television show? He looked just about exactly like Boss Hogg. Oh, here's a cool mother. Al Sharpton. $5 million a year, baby. A popular and controversial pastor, Al Sharpton is largely known as a civil rights activist. I say civil wrongs activist. And fought alongside his brother nigger Jesse Jackson, claiming he was ordained at just 9 years old. The God called him. Sharpton became a Baptist minister in 1994, and ever since that, and he's been screwing the black people everywhere he can. Making most of his earnings through television and radio appearances, Sharpton has earned about $5 million a year. How about that? He's a good buddy of Morris D's down there. Taught him everything he knew. Morris D's taking in what, $250, $300 million? Nobody really knows. I know pretty close. Morris D's preys on a lot of Christians, but at least he's not playing at being a Christian. Got to give him credit for that. He's no phony there. Oh, I see. Jesse Jackson, he's going out to the Indian tribe out there in the West to try to stop the pipeline. Well, there's a lot more people going to want to stop that pipeline, but he's going out there to build his image and get some more money. Here's a guy, looks like Don Knotts. He was on television for years. Charles Stanley, now he's a big swinger in this ball game. $73 million. Popularly known for his syndicated radio broadcast called In Touch Ministries. Charles Stanley began his ministry back when he was 14 years old. He found a bunch of people stupid enough to give him money. With his program being translated in over 100 languages, Stanley has cashed in a salary of $73 million a year. Wow. That's why I've told you guys years ago, get a little storefront building any place you can get it cheap. Start preaching. Make the money for us. Tell them anything you want, but get the money. I don't know whether anybody's done that yet or not. I don't think so, because it seems like all we have around is the conservatives and the right wing, and they're not open to anything new. They just keep doing the same old shit over and over. Well, here's a lady Negro, Juanita Bynum. She takes in $10 million a year. Gospel singer and actress Juanita Bynum is a Pentecostal televangelist that consistently appears on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, fulfilling her role as an empowerment coach. Bynum travels throughout the United States and speaks to audiences. Whoa. Well, there's another field that these Christians are using, and that's music. I'm telling you, on this radio here locally, we've got a lot of AM preachers and so forth, and channels that are playing nothing but Christian music. And I'm telling you, you turn it on and you can't hardly tell the difference between normal pop and this Christian songs. They've gotten to be so sneaky about it that I've even tuned on once in a while. There was a song come on, sounded pretty good, and you got to listen to it close because it's hidden within the singing about Jesus, Jesus, but they don't come out and say it like a regular preacher. They have code words and code music. They're all over the place, and they're making a fortune. Out here at Winona Lake, used to be the world's largest Bible camp. People came from around the world. There was all those big shots of Billy Sundays was out there all the time. They had the Rotohever Company, made millions on Christian music and so forth, and publications and printing. And my buddy was a taxicab driver, In fact, I worked for this guy for a while in high school, and he used to laugh about pulling up behind Rhoda Heaver's big mansion out here in the Christian section and seeing all these cardboard boxes full of empty liquor bottles. Those Christians really like to drink, man. Here's another one. R.C. Sproul. He takes in $2 million a year. Unlike his religious counterparts, R.C. Sproul created an international radio program, quote, Renewing Your Mind, unquote, and launching the Reformation Network. What are Sproul's thoughts on the salary of pastors? He wrote a blog stating that we should pay them well enough that he is able to give with great generosity. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see all the people he's supposedly given money to out of that. $2 million a year! Next is Joseph Prince. He takes in $44.7 million a year. Senior pastor of the New Creation Church, one of Asia's biggest churches. Joseph Prince has taken his missions to books, CDs, and DVDs. Although the church did not reveal him as an employee, it's evident that Prince has a key role in the church's annual income of $44.7 million buckaroos, baby. I can't really blame the North Korean leader for wanting to keep these crazies out of his country. He may be crazy, and he may have a lot of craziness in North Korea, but these Christians, you leave the door open, and they come trouncing in trying to get all these people in a church. So I don't blame him for throwing them in the slammer. Don't forget the big Asian guy, Mr. Moon. Mr. Moon, he owns the Washington Times, as I recall, which spews out neoconservative, neocon propaganda as bad as the left do with the New York Times. So he's propagandizing the country and controlling politics, and the neocon conservatives, the Republicans, love his ass. They just love the Reverend Moon. That's the one who gets, 1,000 couples together once in a while and marries them all at the same time? Insanity, insanity. There's another Negro. Hey, this one's pretty black. Matthew Ashimololo. He takes in $6 to $10 million a year. Leading the largest church in the United Kingdom. See how the British white people love the niggers? You're not going to get anything done with those white people. Britain's through. It's over. It's all done. Matthew Ashimololo has an estimated net worth in the range of $6 to $10 million. Ashimololo converted to Christianity at the age of 20 and is now pastor of the Kingsway International Christian Center. With over 12,000, Ashimololo has taken his mission to his popular international radio and television program called Winning Ways. Man, he's taking $6 to $10 million a year in, mostly from white people. And you think you're going to get them to think about the race? They don't give a shit about the race anymore. They'll make a deal with the devil anytime. And I don't believe in the devil. And you're insane if you do. Next is Kirk Cameron, takes in $20 million a year. How about that? He's a white guy. Most recognized for his role on the ABC sitcom Growing Pains. Kirk Cameron transitioned his career from show business to the ministry. Well, there's a lot more money in the ministry. Cameron partnered with Ray Charles, a New Zealand evangelist, not the black evangelist, to co-found the Way of the Master religion. The two co-founders continued their teachings through television and the radio programs, as well as their free summer camp called Camp Firefly, where I'll bet there's all kinds of pedophilia going on there. Cameron's success on and off the screen has landed the former actor a net worth of $20 million a year. How about that? Yeah, it's growing up. You can get ahead in America. That's why everybody comes here, to con everybody. I just went to the United States to better myself. I got me a little storefront down in Watts, started the International Christian Truth, and now I've got a Rolls Royce parked out front. Do you remember Reverend Ike, the black guy? From California, he made a fortune telling, you go to my church and I'll make you rich. And thousands and thousands of blacks went to his church, and probably a lot of whites. But they ain't no richer than what they were before. Reverend Ike sure as hell is. Another brother, he's sort of a mulatto, Tematopi Joshua, takes in 10 to 15 million a year. A Nigerian evangelist, Tematopi Joshua, is one of the most controversial and richest pastors, claiming to be a miracle worker that can heal anything from cancer to HIV. Joshua founded the Synagogue Church of All Nations and cashes in a net worth between 10 and 15 million a year. Well, that's a boy made good. That boy made good. He overcome diversity. No, he's into diversity. He overcame adversity and wicked, horrible racism to make that kind of money. Boy, there's a lot of Negroes that are doing well and preaching more and more. Here's another one, Enoch Adeboy. He got $55 million a year, heading the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Newsweek listed Enoch Adeboy in the top 50 global power elites in 2008. The church is so popular that it has 14,000 branches in Nigeria alone. Naturally, Adeboy is cashing in and enjoying his private jets. Well, you see, they learned it from the white Christians. It starts out with the white Christians. And then they pick up on it and say, why not me? Or the white Christian minister introduced them to it. Yeah, it's all a big Ponzi scheme, man. And white America worried about their race? Fuck no, they don't. So let them get their ass kicked and let whoever wins the presidency, probably the bitch, she's going to kick their ass more and more. It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm going to get my popcorn and be all ready to watch her, how she does things. Get your young guys, you got kids, boys, and or girls too in high school, get them ready because they're going to war. They're going to war. They're going to Syria first, and then there are going to be thousands of them, and they're already sending them over there to Asia and the area around China, going to provoke the Chinese into something. It's going to be interesting, boys and girls, and I don't feel sorry for one white person that by now doesn't know the truth. Well, here's another. This gal is a real bitch. I've seen her preach on TV several times. Joyce Meyer, now M-E-Y-E-R, could be Jewish, I don't know, takes in $8 million a year, ranking as one of the most influential evangelists in America by Time Magazine. Joyce Meyer has a net worth of $8 million. Meyer stands out amongst other pastors with her history of suffering from child abuse. Meyer began a television ministry called Enjoying Everyday Life with her husband. Well, I wish that her child abusing father would have done her in. It saved a lot of people a lot of money. Well, here's one that's been going for quite a while. Look at this. Kenneth Copeland. Oh, man. He's a real down south preacher. $760 million. Kenneth Copeland is a charismatic movement leader, which aims to promote controversial preaching styles such as prosperity gospel. Join me and I'll make you rich, like Reverend Ike. He learned that off a nigger, I guess. A church that contains a $6 million lakefront mansion, nice, obviously pays Copeland a heavy price tag. Copeland cashes in on books and recordings. It's rumored that his net worth does reach $760 million. Ha ha, You stupid idiots. I agree with Lennon. He wrote that we won't take your churches away from you, but we'll not let you get tax money from the government to run them. Because that's the problem. They get this tax-free stuff in these churches, and that's when they really get crooked. Take their tax exemption away from them, and they two-thirds or more would collapse overnight. Well, here's another Negro. David Oyehiapido takes in $150 million. Boy, he's catching right up and passing a lot of these white guys. Preacher isn't the only thing on David Oyehiapido's resume. He's also an author and founder of the Winner's Chapel. After an 18-hour vision from God, Oyehiapido was convinced that his calling was to preach. Oyehiapido's creation of the Faith Tabernacle, which claims the Guinness World Record, is the world's largest church with 50,000 seats. With church locations all around the world, Oyehiapido's reported net worth is $150 million. And he's just a sleepy-eyed old nigger. You think white race is superior? I don't think so anymore. I don't think so. Here's one you all know, Pat Robertson. He even ran for president a couple of times back. $100 million in his sock. Pat Robertson had an unsuccessful run at the White House, but don't feel bad for him. Robertson is bringing in a lot of money. His launch of the Christian Broadcasting Network in Virginia has landed him in broadcast in over 180 countries. Talk about brainwashing. Running a number of companies, it's no surprise that Robertson has a net worth of $100 million. Whoa. And I know these guys hide a lot of their money, too. Fake Klansman Johnny Lee Clary was even on his show one time, as I recall. I can't handle these Christian preachers and their interviews. It's like I get sick, almost sick. I wish Trump would promise to confiscate all the wealth of these preachers and go through the country really giving it out to the poor. Wouldn't that be something? Well, here's a Jew that decided to get on the bandwagon. I remember when he started out in L.A. Benny Hinn got $42 million. Israeli televangelist Benny Hinn is best known for his summits of healing called Miracle Crusades Revival Meetings. Despite Hinn's reported net worth of being $42 million, he's donated $100,000 in relief for the victims of Hurricane Katrina, which is really a drop in the bucket when you're dealing with that kind of cash. He's probably doing a good job for the Zionists because there's always an angle when there's somebody like this going around. Back in 1950, Billy Graham founded the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in Minnesota, and it has now spread throughout the United States like a virus, becoming one of the most famous pastors because he was buddies with all these Republican presidents. Graham continued his message through radio and television stations reaching over 2.2 billion people. Graham has a net worth of $25 million or more, hiding behind chain-link electrified fence and guard dogs. Probably afraid that it'd be other preachers knock him off. And his son, too. Here's one of the baddest of the bad, Joel Osteen. He's on satellite radio. He's got a giant church. One of the most recognizable pastors, Joel Osteen, is a popularly known as the Smiling Preacher, taking over his father's televised sermons as Lakewood Church senior pastor. Osteen grew the weekly viewers from 5,000 to 43,000. That's a little more than I get on my radio show. Osteen has become such a popular preacher that he is now considered a brand with his 7 million weekly viewers in over 100 countries. Being a best-selling author, it's not entirely shocking that Osteen has a net worth of over $40 million. There you go. He's one of these be happy preachers. All these guys, I tell you, they talk about Hitler's oratory and how good his speeches was. He was nothing compared to these guys. Well, that's it, boys and girls. That's the list. There's a lot, hell of a lot more. There's thousands of these guys that are not making millions, but they're making hundreds of thousands at least, driving big cars and having new houses all over the place. Around here, there's a new church about on every square mile in the country. In the city, it's probably every half mile. I mean, they're all over because it's a money-making operation. If you're in one of these mind control centers, get out. It's all based on myth. You know, you can believe, you like Odin, all these people, that's fine. But you know it's a myth. It's not reality. All these Christians write in about this and make excuses for these filthy preachers. Here's one here. Money is not the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. God actually approves of the wealth of rich people once they understand that their wealth is a blessing from God and they must have a deep sense of social justice towards their fellow man, the poor, orphans, widows, and the downtrodden. But that's the point. They don't, you idiot. They only give away maybe a trifle small amount of that money. And most of them don't give any of it away. And it's all taken care of with the taxes, anyhow. No taxes. You should read all the hundreds of Christians all pissed off about this. And they're writing in and all this stuff, man, unbelievable. Don't forget, the Bible's the devil's book. That's a good book for you to read. I love it when the liberals nail the Christians and the phony right wing, the white racists that won't admit to being white racists, lying bastards like Giuliani and all these people, even Trump. Of course they're racist. I have no use for anyone that's a racist and won't admit they're a racist. They're all racist down deep. Even the blacks got their form of racism. Let's listen to this.
Welcome to the Late Show, everybody. Lovely to have you folks here. I'm Stephen Colbert, your host for the evening. And ladies and gentlemen, check your calendars. We are 13 days from the election. And it is a hard time for those on board the Trump train. Because somehow it hit an iceberg and is sinking. And Trump surrogates are doing just what the passengers on the Titanic did, remaining calm on the ship and talking about how great it is. Just this morning, Trump got some much-needed support from former New York mayor and daytime Dracula, Rudy Giuliani. Here's what Rudy had to say when asked if Trump's campaign is racist.
Racist? The last thing in the world Donald Trump is a racist. I know him for 28 years. The man likes white people, he likes black people, he likes Hispanic people, he plays golf with them.
Yes! He plays golf with them.
He plays golf
with them.
Come
on! He doesn't care if you're black or white as long as you can afford the greens fees. And there's yet another reason Giuliani thinks it's unfair to call Trump a racist. Unfortunately, it is not a good reason.
To say that Donald Trump is a racist is outrageous. And to call anybody a racist is outrageous.
Exactly. To call anyone racist, racists don't exist. They're like unicorns or Giuliani's sense of shame. Just, you can't find it anywhere. And
nobody's a racist. No, not around. Are you Trump racist? All of the white guys that did a lot of resisting of getting blacks into jobs. I love it. I love to see the white hypocrites bashed. And I hope they get it a lot more before this is over. Now, I hope you know by now why the media never wants to talk to Tom Metzger. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying they don't want it straight. Hell, I get more respect from black racists than these white people. I mean, how about all the right wing and the Dukes and all those people? Put a mic in Duke's face and say, are you a racist? Well, I want to talk about the European Americans, and there's something about, will you answer the question, yes or no? Well, blah, 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 that's what you'll get out of Duke and all these. Even the Klan leaders. Are you a racist? No, I ain't racist. No. Well, what are you doing with that rope around that nigger's neck? Well, that's just Southern heritage. Well, that's it for today, boys and girls. We did it, and it's Thursday, and tomorrow is Ladies' Day, man. I tell you, we give tribute to the she-wolves of the country and our lone wolf she-wolves. Yeah, so I'll see you tomorrow, and we'll see if we can come up with some other crazy crap. just laugh at it. Get in the groove. It's funny. It's funny. Because the only thing you can do is laugh. Otherwise, you go crazy. I don't believe that there's a race war coming in the near future at all. Any more than Donald Trump becoming president.
Boys and girls are doing the right thing. Because you have a steadiness about you. And I believe in you. But if it comes on, then you must be smarter than your enemy. What are you trying to say? The Americans, they're very smart, but sometimes they can be incredibly stupid. They spend all this money and time and energy on the so-called war on terror. They put satellites up in space. They can ram a smart bomb up a camel's ass from a situation over 5,000 miles away. But every time the U.S. kills an Al-Qaeda leader, what happens? There's a new one before the body's cold. You do it a million times. They never get it because the real solution always eludes them. What is it? Do nothing. Nothing. Nada. If you want to shut down a fundamentally flawed system, all you gotta do is step out of its way, and it'll shut itself down. Nature has a way of correcting itself.